You're listening to The Aaron Carrera Show. And now your host, Aaron Carrera.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It is me, Aaron, and I am live, if you are listening live, Thursday, September 19th, 10:01 a.m. I'm coming at you from beautiful, cool, and slightly gloomy Los Angeles. It's so perfect right now. The weather is so nice. There's a little peak of blue coming out from behind the clouds, so it'll probably warm up nicely this afternoon. And I hope you're all having a wonderful, wonderful September. So first of all, last week, you know, we've been doing this abundance practice for the month of September and even before, earlier, we began in August. Last week, I couldn't make it because a pipe burst in the wall of my office here. And there was a little bit of flooding and I had to move everything around. They had to come replace the pipe. They still haven't replaced the wall. It's a whole thing. It's fun. It's great. But I wanted to bring it up to let you know, A, why I wasn't here, and B, to remind you that sometimes when you're manifesting things, that might mean that things that need to go away, get repaired, be replaced, be attended to, they might pop up, right? How many times have you decided you were going to manifest a new car and your current car, the brakes go out? Or how many times you decide that you are going to manifest, you know, any A, B, or C, and something presents itself to be attended to? Now, it might be presenting itself, like I said, to be repaired, replaced, fixed. You know, I'm pretty certain that my office is going to get a whole new, I know, it's going to get a whole new coat of paint. And in fact, my whole place is going to get a whole new coat of paint, I think, in the long run. And it's going to be rearranged. And I'm going to rearrange it energetically, specifically, to call in more abundance. Because it had become, if I were to be honest, my office became a bit of a repository for all my stuff, right? Like, I've got 3 keyboards, 3 guitars, a bookshelf full of my to-be-read books, and lights, cameras, action, all of the above. I have so much stuff in here, I can't believe how much stuff I have in here. So I realize it's time to get rid of some of the books and music that got soaked. It's time to rearrange some of the things and perhaps sell one of my keyboards. I don't know which one, but sell one of them, right? It's time to make some space, right? So the very first thing I wanted to ask before we even get into getting back to our abundance is I wanted to talk to you about what in your life might need to be moved around and where you need to create space. Another thing that comes up is that things might be presented because they are being highlighted for deletion, right? Which is similar to the concept I was just talking about. So for example, you know, you might be having a thought, a recurring thought that comes up. And you're like, why do I keep thinking this? I'm trying to manifest abundance in my life and I keep having this thought of anger, frustration, or resentment come up. Well, it might be being highlighted for deletion. So consider that if it's something that's really not serving you, you can take a deeper look and ask yourself, do I really want this thought? Do I really want this? Do I really want all of these books? I mean, I always want all the books, but is all of this stuff serving me? If it is, great. How can I arrange things in a way to be helpful to my ultimate goals? And if it's not serving you, then that is definitely something for you to take a look at, right? So I figure let the follies of my life be useful to everybody, including myself. All right, friends. If you like this show, if you want to come find me, I'm at onetolisten.com/Aaron. This show is brought to you by me and my work at One to Listen. I have been with One to Listen since 2011. Brrr, wow. I just had a little cartoon image of a guy with his eyes popping out and his tongue going out like, kauga. Like, how is that possible? I don't know, but that's the truth. 2011, y'all. Here we are, 2024. And I'm so grateful to all of my clients and all of you listening here on One to Radio and all of my peeps here at One to Radio and One to Listen. I'm really grateful to have you in my life and to be in your life. And if you would like to come work with me, I would love to work with you. Come on over, onetolisten.com/Aaron. That's Aaron with an E. You can also come find me on social media. On Instagram, it's One to Listen Aaron. On Facebook, it is Aaron at the School for Heroines. I've changed it a few times. But I would love to chat with you. If you have things you want to ask, you can come find me over here. And speaking of Facebook, if you want to chat with us, what you do is, if you're on 12radio.com, you can simply click on the little icon or the little sign, the little phrase that says chat with us on Facebook, and that will bring you over to our Facebook private group. If you've never chatted with us before, you just ask to join the group. And once you're in the group, you'll see my banner is pinned to the top of the page. My banner is me with angel wings at the beach. And you'll see already we have beautiful Renee and Denise here in the chat room. If you want to ask questions and talk about abundance and let me know what your abundance practice is looking like this month, I'd love to know. So I am not just preaching, so to speak, about the abundance practice. I too have been in it this month. Like I mentioned, the pipe in my office here. I have been working very hard on the letter of thought. I brought in, you can't see it, but I am pulling it close to me. I brought in a plant to increase abundance. And I also have been spraying my beautiful spray, which I'm going to spray right now. Sound effects, my beautiful abundance prosperity spray. Today, oh, I've also been doing, I mentioned the ladder of thought. I've actually been doing them as affirmations. So every morning I have been saying and repeating my affirmations along the ladder of thought. Sorry, airplane flying by. I've been saying and repeating my affirmations that are on my ladder of thought 100 times every day. And I bring that up because I want to talk a little bit about incantations, affirmations, declarations, and how you're using them. Because this morning, as I was on my walk, I realized I was saying my affirmation kind of like ba-da-ba, 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 really fast just to get through it. And I was like, oh, hold on there, Aaron, hold your horses. Why are you trying to just get through this? Why are you rushing through it like it's just another, you know, thing to tick off your to-do list, as if it's like regrouting your tub or you know, spot treating your laundry, or, you know, taking your Mr. Clean sponge to the stains on your wall, which, by the way, is something I really enjoy doing. I don't know. Sometimes cleaning relaxes me. So that's not the best example. Why? So I was on my walk and I thought, why don't you just do this in rhythm to your walk? Why don't you engage your, while you're doing your affirmations, while you're repeating the new thoughts that you want to take hold on your ladder of thought, on your ladder of thoughts from where I feel that I am now to where I want to go. Why not make adjustments in the structure of the language to make them more powerful? Why not put them in line, in time with the movements of your body? So since I was walking, I began to think, so for example, let's say one of your affirmations, declarations, incantations is, my career can change for the better. Like I started out with that, I began to change it to, my career is changing for the better, right? Let's say you're doing one for, oh, fitness, right? Every day, in every way, I'm getting happier and healthier. Okay, so you could change happier and healthier to whatever you want. Every day, in every way, I'm getting wealthier and healthier. Every day, in every way, I'm getting stronger and fitter. Every day, in every way, I'm getting sexier and sassier. I don't know if I could be any sassier. Let's find out. Right? I love the idea of creating something that is rhyming, like an incantation. I'm fit. I'm lean, I'm light, I'm full of energy and full of light, full of might. I already said light, right? Like there's so many ways you can do it. So then it becomes sort of like, as you are walking, I'm so lucky, my life is blessed, right? As I look off to the west, right? Not that when you look to the east, your life isn't blessed. I'm just thinking of what things I was trying out on my walk. It doesn't have to rhyme either. It could just be something like, a bold new me is on the rise, right? A bold new me is on the rise. But the point is to infuse it with meaning. And sometimes doing it as a ritual incantation with something that you're already doing, right? If, like, I grew up going to church. I grew up saying the Lord's Prayer, the Nicene Creed, singing the doxology, Christian church, obviously. And these things become a part of the ritual, and that ritual gives them a kind of meaning. And it is true that if you are like me and you grew up going to church 3 times a week and singing in church, a lot of those things you can say by rote without thinking about the meaning. But a lot of the things you can actually return to your heart. And if you're using these incantations, whether it's for abundance and prosperity, or for your physical health, or for your relationships, or for your dreams, if you're on a walk, timing it to your walk can be a great way to do it. If you are cleaning your home, like we mentioned before, if you are using specific essential oils and putting them into your cleaning products, then you can actually be doing, let's say you are scrubbing your wall with Mr. Clean sponges, the clean erasers. Oh my gosh, I love those. You can actually be doing it as a ritual incantation, right? Right? So then you go back to what your affirmations are. Again, whether they rhyme or not, I live each day with passion and power. I feel strong and powerful, happy and excited. And then tie it into what you're doing. As I walk, I affirm. I have tremendous confidence in my talents and abilities. As I walk, I affirm. I have tremendous confidence in my talents and my abilities. As I walk, I confirm and affirm. I have tremendous confidence in my talents and my abilities, right? And these can be all kinds of things. You don't have to be doing some grand big manifestation like, I win the lottery, I win the lottery, I win the lottery. Although that could be it too. It could be, I have deep respect for myself and everyone I meet each day. I forgive myself and others easily. It depends on what you're working on, right? If you're in a relationship pattern where you are holding a lot of grudges, perhaps the affirmation that's right for you is, I forgive myself and others easily. Now, you might be saying, Aaron, what does this have to do with prosperity? Well, it has a lot to do with prosperity because where you're holding a grudge, especially if you are unaware, where you are not cleared of toxic thoughts, while you are manifesting, you might secretly manifest some of that other stuff too that you're secretly holding on to, right? So it is so worth clearing out your cache, so to speak, right? Like you clear out your internet browsers, clearing out your internet browser caches of the old things, clearing out your own negative thoughts, your own negative thinking, your own toxic thinking. And you can just as you can use your daily routines and rituals to utilize strengthening and emboldening your affirmations, declarations, and incantations. You can also use that whole equation, that whole recipe to clear out negative thoughts, toxic thoughts, things you no longer want. So I wanted to give you some wonderful incantations. I know I've already just sort of tossed some through as I've been talking about things that you can do throughout your day. And by the way, you can do this. I want to affirm and remind you, you can do it on a walk. You can do it while you're cleaning your house. You can do it while you're brushing your teeth, washing your face, putting on your face cream in the morning and at night. You can do it as you're driving to work. You can do it as you are falling asleep. You can do it. Obviously, maybe don't do it while you need to be present to say a conversation you're having with someone or a creative project. But you see, these times when we are doing things that we think are mindless. These are times that we can actually imbue with some of these incantations. And I also want to say this because a couple of people have been like, well, I'm just so busy. How can I do this 100 times a day? It's like, well, you can find time. It doesn't have to be 100 times all at once. 100 times a day could happen 20 times. Well, you'll be surprised how quickly 100 times goes by, though. If you're driving to work, that might be all the time you need to do your 100 incantations, to say your incantation 100 times. So I wanted to offer up a few beautiful incantations for wealth. Because the very first one that I would offer up is wealth is my birthright. As a creation of the divine, I deserve joy, happiness, fulfillment, love, wealth, and freedom. I attract mountains of money. I like that one. I attract mountains of money. I like this one too. I have more than I need, and wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. Right? I am a force for good, and therefore my prosperity is ever increasing. I love all of these, especially when you remind yourself, I am a force for good, and therefore money flows to me. I have more than I need. Because I want you to remember, a lot of people have very negative ideas about wealth or rich people, right? Not everyone. A lot of people are wealthy and are like, no, what are you talking about? A lot of people listening. But there are people listening who struggle with that because their parents or their culture taught them something about that. And I want everyone to determine for themselves. Remember, we started out this way. I want you to determine for yourself if you have some secret beliefs that are holding you back. And it, therefore, if you are having those secret beliefs that are holding you back, are they true? Are they true? And if they are not necessarily true, what else could you choose to believe, right? I'm a force for good. I am a force for good, and therefore me being wealthy only increases good in the world because with more wealth, I can do more good. Okay, another tenet I wanted to talk about, speaking of being a force for good, is giving back. So a lot of people wonder how I find four-leaf clovers all the time. And my number one response is that it is about my relationship with four-leaf clovers. So what do I mean by that, my relationship with four-leaf clovers? I mean literally that. I mean literally, when I go on my walks and I see clovers, and even when I don't see clovers, I stop and I tell the four-leaf clovers that I'm here if they want to show themselves to me, if they want to come home with me, if they want to be seen or not seen. I'm here. And when I find a four-leaf clover, I usually pluck a hair out of my head. And I offer it to the earth as an exchange because I want there to be exchange. Now, sometimes the exchange is also just me stooping down and talking. And how is that an exchange? Well, a shaman told me years ago that whenever I had an emotional experience that I needed to process, I should go find a tree, hug the tree, spread my body up against the tree if possible, tell the tree about my experience and share my emotions with the tree, because the tree would be giving me oxygen and I would be giving the tree carbon dioxide, but also the tree would be giving me tree communication, tree, which if you've ever communicated with a tree, you know what I'm talking about. It's not in English, right? But there is an energetic exchange. So the tree would be understanding my human experience, which it doesn't get to have. And I would be receiving tree experience, which I don't get to have, not, at least not every day, because I wasn't born into a tree. That's not the species I was born into in this lifetime. So giving back. When I find a four-leaf clover, even if I don't, I want to exchange energetically my gratitude, my human emotions, my experience, my love, my care. I would say even... it doesn't have to be like giving 10% of your income to, you know, tithing 10%. Just think about how you can give back so that even if you are, let's say that you're like, I need new clothes, but I don't have a budget. And so I am going to the thrift store. Can you bring something with you to donate as an offering to the muse of beautiful clothes? And don't forget the power of a clothing exchange. If you want to find other ways to get new clothes, if you're like, I need a new wardrobe, you could do a clothing exchange. You could do a thrift store. There's so many different ways you could go about things, right? So giving back feels like the other aspect of giving back is that you are reminding yourself that you are abundant enough to give. That, you know, we want to give when our cup floweth over. Well, there are areas in our lives, for most of us, where our cup is flowing over. That might be in belief, in faith. That might be in willingness. That might be in creativity. That might be in clothes. That might be in shoes. That might be in talent. That might be in all kinds of things. So wherever your cup does floweth over, can you give back? Right? So I would love for us to continue to find all of the ways to just be getting rid of our scarcity thinking, right? Finding new ways to have more money, more joy, more positivity. And it's totally possible, right? It's totally possible. We know that our mindset can really become self-fulfilling prophecies. And that is why I am sort of both practicing with you and offering to all of you that if we intentionally cultivate an abundance mentality, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, I love when we share our wins. A lot of you know that I had a book come out in July, Bad Sugar Baby. Well, my publishing company and I decided that we would put the book on sale for the end of summer. So we decided that on Tuesday, well, on Monday we put it on sale, and on Tuesday we did our social media rollout announcing, okay, the Bad Sugar Baby is on sale for an end of summer sale. So from now until the autumn equinox, Bad available on sale on Amazon. It is free if you are a Kindle user, and it has a low price on Amazon if you want to order the paperback. And do you know that therefore I woke up on Wednesday and Bad Sugar Baby had hit number two on the bestseller list in women's fiction on Amazon. I mean, I was flabbergasted that I hit number two, that I was suddenly in the top 10 in its category on Amazon. That means it became a best seller. Like, what? What? That is abundance, right? That is abundance. Now, the abundance came from me giving back in a way, right? We put it on sale. We offered it for free on Kindle. So it's a best seller. And we could go, yeah, well, Aaron, that's not really a best seller because you put it for free. But it's like, no, actually, that means people downloaded it. So that many people downloaded it and are reading it. So that many books were exchanged. So you see, like I'm offering for transparency, like all of the details. But now there it's not just people downloading the free Kindle, it's also people ordering the book because not everybody wants the free Kindle. Not everybody does Kindle. So people are downloading at Kindle, yes. But also, a lot of people ordered the book. So it's pretty exciting to me that as you get creative and change your mindset, you will also manifest, right? You will manifest in magical ways things you hadn't even thought to think of. So, our daily habits. If we really want to have a prosperous September, I was saying prosperous and prosperity at the same time, a September of prosperity, a year of prosperity, a life of prosperity, daily habits, thinking positively, right? Does this mean that we are fake, phony? No, not at all. Not at all. But I do think we can look for the silver lining, look for the lesson, and look to change our negative habits. Right? Being grateful, looking to challenge our thoughts, looking for our inner shadows that we hadn't noticed before, asking ourselves, what am I hiding from myself? If I was free, if I were free to see the truth of a situation that I'm currently hiding these things from myself, and it would help me to know the truth, what am I hiding from myself? Regarding my dreams, regarding what I want out of life, regarding my prosperity, right? Make these daily habits, thinking positively, challenging your thoughts, looking for things you're hiding from yourself, and being grateful. Because then, from this place, you can begin to follow your intuition, right? And take that inspired action. Get in the flow of giving and receiving, right? Of course, there's one other thing that I haven't mentioned yet, which is releasing expectations. Oh, no, not that. Yes. Release your expectations. Release your attachment to a specific timeline. Release your attachment to the outcome, right? We all know this. We just don't want to do this. Embrace divine timing. Okay. Manifestation unfolds organically. Okay. I mean, I met my husband, I was in my 30s. I always thought I would be married. I thought I would be world famous, married, and have children by age 24. Oh, little did I know, 24 for me was still the beginnings of my healing. So, and I don't care if you are 60, 70, and looking to meet the one. You will, right? You will manifest it. Things unfold organically. I think about my, I've told you all about that couple I know. Wonderful couple that met at 80 and fell in love and got married at 81, right? So I want to talk a little bit about the law of abundance, the idea that scarcity is an illusion, and I want to get into some of the esoteric discussion of it, right? First of all, is there anything wrong with believing that the universe contains unlimited divine energy and a potential to provide for all of us? Well, it kind of does, doesn't it? I think there's nothing wrong and there's everything right with that. You can choose that because the universe does contain unlimited energy. Now, maybe the way that Earth duality works and the way humans work, certain parts of our lives don't have unlimited energy. I can tell you, I definitely need plenty of sleep. I can't go without sleep. So if we want to look at it from one perspective, it's like, well, I don't have unlimited energy, but I'm not alone. I'm here with the divine. I'm here with the universe. I can tap into the universe's unlimited divine energy. In fact, I tap in when I sleep. So when we shift to our abundance mindset and we take inspired action that is in alignment with our true nature, we get access to that natural flow of creativity, of ingenuity, of blessings, of prosperity, right? So I want to talk about the different laws, so to speak, the different tenets of gratitude, of oneness, of giving back, of tapping into the field, of infinite abundance, right? It's worth looking into to adjust ourselves into the mindset that's going to work for us. To not brush it off as woo-woo or mystical or to always be skeptical. Of course, we need to go look for ourselves. Of course, we should think for ourselves as to the best of our ability. Of course, we shouldn't be superficial. It's actually deeper than that, right? So I want to explore something deeper. And I know a lot of us have looked at this for many years, and I'm here to go deep with you. And for some people, it might be a reminder, and for some people, it might be a practice, and for some people, it might be dislodging an old belief that's like a log stuck in the waterfall, right? It's stopping the flow because it just got lodged there, some skeptical thought that made you feel smart and protected you from being vulnerable in the moment that's actually getting in the way of your prosperity. We're going to unlodge, we're going to dislodge that right now, okay? So I would love for us to look at these ideas, starting with the law of divine oneness, okay? The idea. Well, I'll tell you all 12 things we're going to look at. We're not going to have time for all of it today. We're going to like look at these today and then in the coming weeks. So, number one, the law of divine oneness, right? The understanding that everything and everyone in the universe is interconnected. We are, folks, we are. And I know that for some people who get caught up in things like politics, that can be very hard to accept because whatever you. If you are passionate about politics, then, and I am, I'm passionate about politics. I don't share my politics, but I'm passionate about justice and I'm passionate about caring for people. So I'm passionate about politics, right? But I still feel and see that we are all interconnected, right? I don't actually have a side because I have things from all sides. Like there's things that I care about from all sides. So it makes it hard because I can't align with just one side. And if I vote for, if we are in this binary system like we have in the United States, if I vote for one candidate, there are going to be things that the other candidate says that I want. And there's going to be things that the candidate I do vote for says that I don't want. So I can only do my best with what I've got and then do what I do, which is call their office and tell them how I feel and what I would like them to do, right? Because in essence, the politicians are supposed to work for us. Of course they don't, but not in this current system that we're in. But I vote to help change that. Now, you don't need to. I said I don't talk about politics, and I just talked about my politics with you all. But I bring that up because that seems to be something that divides many people, and I am not divided. I have still kept all of my friends from across all political vantage points. Some friends have left me, but most of them have not because I respect where everyone's coming from. I truly do. Why do I respect where they're coming from? Because I understand that they have their own life experience, that others have their own life experience, their own beliefs for their own reasons. And if you just start asking questions, you learn a lot, right? We are all connected. We are interconnected, right? Just as life doesn't begin at one point and end at another point, it flows and flows and flows. So are we all interconnected. Okay, number two, which is the law of vibration, that every entity resonates with its own specific vibration, just like we know musical notes, right? They have their own frequency and vibration. Every entity has its own vibration. Number three, which is the law of correspondence. What is that? That is the way that patterns repeat across the universe, both in the microcosm and the macrocosm, right? But like the Fibonacci sequence, you know, the spirals. Well, that the numeric equation behind the Fibonacci sequence, right? 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, right? 89, 144, 212, right? I know I have it memorized. And then I have to start adding. But yes, it is you take one and you add it to itself, that makes two. You take one plus two, add them together, that makes three. You take two plus three, add them together, that makes five. Take three plus five, add them together, that makes eight. Take five plus eight, add them together, it's 13. Take eight plus 13, add them together, it's 21. You see where this is going, 34, 55, 89, 144, right? But what that manifests into is that spiral that you will see in the universe, in nature, all over. Fibonacci is just the person who came up with the numerical equation to describe the sequence. Well, this is just one of many, many, many patterns that repeats itself across the universe, both in our micro, in its own microcosm and then in the macrocosm, in the individual and in the community at large. And that is true for you. Neurological patterns that are repeated within us individually. Look at all babies, how babies lift their heads, right? As the babies are lifting their heads, certain neurological pathways are being formed, certain muscles, certain bone structures are being formed. Well, this is true. We can find these patterns in the individual and across a species and even across the universe. Okay, number four, which is the law of attraction, that like energies, like vibrations attract other energies and vibrations, right? This is a law of physics that we know in the realm of physics as well. Number five is inspired action, that dreams manifest into reality through inspired intervention, inspired action. And I just have to tell you, like I have been saying, my mantra, one of my mantras is my career can change for the better. And that turned into my career changes for the better. And then my book became a bestseller. And I booked another cool job that I'll tell you all about later when I can. And suddenly, a number of long-lost callers showed up on One to Listen for me. And I got to talk to people I haven't spoken with in a little while. People I love that I was so thrilled. I was sorry they needed someone to speak to about the issues they were having, but I was thrilled that they called me, that I got to catch up with them and help them again, right? Like just practicing believing that things were wonderful brought in wonderful people and wonderful opportunities into my life. Okay, the next, what are we on? Number six. Ah, perpetual transmutation of energy. What do I mean by that? All individuals have the power to change their conditions. We all have the power and opportunity to transform and transmute. We do. We can change our situations. We really can. We really can. Now, okay, yes, maybe a 5'4", 62-year-old lady isn't going to go play for the NBA. I know. I always use ridiculous ideas like that. I don't know personally any 62-year-old 5'4" lady that wants to be a professional basketball player. But I feel like every dream that someone really has, every dream, it's not about fulfilling a specific attachment to that dream, but that every dream is fulfillable. So if you tell me I want to become a best-selling author, I'll say, well, I did it. If I did it, you can do it. If you tell me you want to release music, meditation music, you can do it. Like it's everything you want is possible. If you say, I want to get into a relationship, but there's just no good men, just start by changing that opinion about men. Because I'll tell you, I know a lot of good men. I do, I know so many good men. I know so many great men, so many. And they're out there and they're looking for you. But you got to believe that they're great, because if you believe that they're not, that there are no good ones, then you won't see the ones who are in your field, right? Anyway, everybody has the power to change their condition. Next is the law of cause and effect, right? Nothing happens by chance. Every action has a reaction, a consequence, a reverberation, right? A ripple effect. Now, this doesn't mean that necessarily, I'm saying there's some Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. I don't. We actually, we know if we use Wizard of Oz as the example, it's a good example. The wizard wasn't causing things. It was Dorothy's choices and Dorothy's the p choices of her and the choice of the witch and the choice of the Munchkins and the choice of the people who teamed up with her and that they chose to team up with, right? That the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Cowardly Lion and Toto all chose to team up with her. It was her all along, right? Law of cause and effect. So that when we are looking to create change, we can begin to see the causes earlier and earlier. The effects are usually easier to see, right? We can start looking and start to see the cause. Okay, the next, number eight, which is compensation. Abundance flows in various forms and is proportional to the energy or effort that one puts out and the belief that goes along with it. Right? So if you believe that you have to work really, really hard to make money, well, guess what? The universe will reward you with a lot of hard work. But if you believe that you have gifts and talents that are worthy of a high income, guess what? Guess what? Abundance flows. And like I said, various forms. So for example, it might come, here's some ways that abundance has flowed to me in various forms in the last week. Best-selling book, my work at One to Listen. I also was, you all know about my trip to Santa Barbara. I was gifted a plane ticket for a location scout that I'm going on as a patron decided to support this film that my husband and I are producing. And also, I was offered a discount on the Washington Post. They said, you don't have to do anything. We're just lowering our price by $1. And then I was offered a discount on, I use Rent the Runway for things. And they offered me a 35% discount. Like, they just offered to me. It was just offered. Right? How cool. How amazing. So compensation comes in a lot of different forms. A check I've been waiting for. My agent just called me to say, got the check. I'm going to be mailing it to you, right? Next, number nine, the law of relativity. And I do mean, you know, I don't mean the theory of relativity, E equals MC squared. I mean like an emotional sociological relativity, which is that everybody will face challenges in their life. Those challenges are all relative to that individual's life. The challenges can all be used as a means for growth. So, when I was in India on my first trip and I was helping build a school for impoverished children, many of whom were truly homeless, I was so amazed when I was playing with the children how joyful so many of them were. I thought to myself, how can they live in deep poverty and be so happy? I'm not saying that it was fair or that they were happy, so they should remain in poverty. I mean, the whole point of the school was to offer nutrition and education to children. And that school in particular in Rishikesh in India offered to children that if they were academically talented, that they would there was a fund for them to go on to high school. And if they continued to be academically talented, there were funds to help them go to college and university with the caveat that they would, whatever their professional careers would be, return to a village or return to an area for 1 year after graduating and give back for 1 year. So for 1 year, they would specifically work at, let's say they became a doctor, they would work specifically in, for impoverished people. Let's say they became a lawyer, they would give 1 year of service to help poor people or find a way to be of service in their careers, right? That was the, I believe it was even on the honor system. But, and if they weren't academically inclined, then our school would have a fund to teach them trades so that these people wouldn't have to become beggars or prostitutes or get trafficked or exploited or, you know, human trafficked for labor or human trafficked for sexual sex trade or become criminals or thieves or, right, all different kinds of things that could happen to them. The goal was to try to create a life for these children that would fulfill their best possibilities according to the individual. Now, these kids were joyful because they didn't know what they lacked and because they had each other. And in this instance, because they were fed and they had full tummies and they were learning. Boy, if there's anything kids love, most kids really do love to learn, right? I'm not saying they all love school, but children really do love learning. So, relativity. Everyone in this world faces challenges. And I have another, the other end of that story. I have a friend, the friend who paid for our plane tickets for our location scout. He's a very wealthy person, and he has taught me a lot about. He's a self-made man, started out in life as a violinist. And he's taught me a lot about wealth. By the way, he did not make his wealth playing violin, in case you were wondering. He started businesses. He's also an entrepreneur. But what he taught me is that having a great life takes energy. Now, what does he mean? Because this is a man who will fly all over the world, start music festivals in Italy, donate to children's charities, music charities, fund a music school, make sure there's a certain amount of lessons available to underprivileged children at the music school, who will buy and sell art, who will help invest in artists. And so, for example, he called me once and he said, "Oh, I'm flying to Boston to go meet this artist that I want to support." Or there's a young violinist he supported who could qualify to go to Juilliard but couldn't afford to pay, so he paid for their tuition. And then he's been invested in her career, and he sometimes helps her out when she needs to go to an audition somewhere. Right? He's invested. He has money. He wants to give back. That's how he does it. But he taught me, if you want to have a great life, it takes energy. It doesn't take money necessarily. Right? Like that violinist that he supports, I don't know that she necessarily has, I think she has a median income, but she's willing to put in the practice. She's willing to get on the plane and go. She's willing to go do the auditions. It takes energy. It does. So what he taught me about being wealthy is that the number one thing about business, he said, in his opinion, is your willingness to deal with uncomfortable situations, because the bigger your business grows, the more money you make, the more people want from you, the more you have to have uncomfortable conversations, the more you need to confront things that aren't easy to confront. And I feel like this is true. People tell me they want to get into a great relationship, but they're afraid of getting hurt. And I always say, honey, you're gonna have to get over that. You're gonna have to get over that. You want to become wealthy, but you're afraid of what your people in your life might think of you, or you're afraid of what it might mean to move into a higher tax bracket. How are you gonna pay for your deal with that, right? It's just outside of your comfort zone. I promise you, you can find help. You can. You can learn. I promise you. Let's go back to the law of where everyone can change their conditions, right? The transmutation of energy. But relativity, everyone faces challenges and they are means for growth. Okay, the other side of that, since I just basically explained the next law, which is the law of polarity, I explained about the poorest little children in India, and I explained about my friend who's wealthy and uses his wealth to try to help arts and children. So the law of polarity, everything has an opposite. Opposites are different forms of the same thing. It's true. Opposites are different forms of the same thing, north, south, east, west, right? Different forms of the same thing. Next, 11. We're on number 11, which is the law of rhythm. Everything evolves through cycles and patterns, right? Think about the way the cycle of life, the cycle of water on this planet Earth, right? They say there are more molecules of water in one glass of water than there are drops of water in all of our oceans. And therefore, the same water that the dinosaurs drank, you and I drink. The same water that whatever political person you don't like has drunk, you've drunk too, right? Just think about circadian rhythms, right? The rhythms of the earth, the rhythms of the body. That's helpful to remember because then we can manifest in concert with these rhythms. Then finally, I'm going to talk about the law of gender, which is not that there's one gender, but that both masculine and feminine energies are present in all entities, right? This ensures creation and regeneration. I have masculine energy in me. If you could see what I'm wearing, you would know I'm wearing these army pants and an A-line tank top. I look like I'm straight out of a army movie. Only, of course, I'm also very womanly in my body, so. So, these are the 12 things that I want to discuss, and specifically, how we can use these 12 tenets, ideas, philosophies, laws when we aren't having abundance. If all of this is possible, then you say to me, Erin, why is abundance not constant? Why? Well, once we understand external factors, internal factors, both barriers that hinder the constancy of abundance, it really starts to look pretty obvious that our internal mindset is the number one pivotal determinant, right? So let's look at all the different dichotomies between the abundance and scarcity mindset that will play a role in disconnecting us from the flow, right? Number one is any kind of fear and contraction. When we are operating from a state of fear, a state of contraction, then we are cutting off certain energies. We are cutting off certain connections. What creates this kind of fear? Obviously, when you are running from a tiger, that is appropriate fear. We all know that now. That's the trite example. But when we are attached to an outcome, like if you call me and you say, I just met a guy and I need to know that this guy's the one, or else, because I don't want to waste my time and I don't want to get hurt. And I say to you, you're going to have to go and see, because that very mindset is going to keep you. If I were to tell you he's the one, you're going to get freaked out then every little moment that it doesn't go well. And if I tell you he's not the one, you're going to drop him and you're not going to take the time to get to know him to find out if he actually is the one. You see, you're going to be contracted. If you know he's the one, you're going to live in fear, because your need to know that he's the one is going to make you worry every time it doesn't work out. Every time you do something weird, you might react weird. Your need to know is going to keep you in fear. It's going to keep you grasping. You're going to try to control the outcomes. You're going to try to make it perfect all the time. And let me tell you, I can tell you, no relationship is going to be perfect all the time. Just is not. And that actually will keep you from the flow of love and keep you from the flow of relating and keep you from that stream. Okay? So when we are talking about abundance, that financial anxiety, that need for it to happen at a certain time right now, that is going to get in the way of your flow. I'm telling you, the sooner you can get out of the need, and I can hear people go, yeah, but I've got bills, and those bills have due dates. Mm-hmm, yes, but bills and due dates are separate from abundance and flow. Stories of lack will always cut off our wellspring, okay? Now, why do we come up with these stories? Well, we all have egos, and egos are great. They're there for reasons. They help us get through life in certain ways. But what happens is we have these identities that we might not even know that we have, right? We might not even know that we have certain identities until something happens in our life that is the opposite of that identity, and our ego pops up to, we call it a trigger, right? Our ego pops up to say, wait a minute, no, that's not how we see ourselves in this life. And this person, like if you're in the situation I just described, where you need to know that this guy's the one, and then the guy suddenly has stinky feet. You're like, no, that is not how I saw my relationship going. How can my person have stinky feet? I don't know why that's a deal breaker, but just asking for a friend. Suddenly your ego has been triggered, right? Because you just assumed he would always smell amazing. He would never sweat in his shoes. No, because he's human, right? So you don't even know that you have this weird belief all along until it gets triggered. And then what happens is your brain, that ego, it starts to project a story of a negative experience. It might be based in history, might be based in some traumatic moment, or even just a general history, a general belief that came about from years of teen magazines, or it might be, you know, or whatever. It might be passed down generationally. It might come from your parents, your grandparents. It might be in your DNA. Might be in your culture. Might be something in the media that you consume. But it is a story of lack, a story of negative imagination. And that is cutting you off from the natural wellspring. Because in truth, that infinite energy, it is always there. It's just waiting for us to align to it. So that when you choose to drop that fear and determine for yourself, okay, is this thought that I'm having true? Can I drop it? Can I release the expectations? Can I reconnect to my wellspring of abundance? Can I release the toxic and negative energies and then take inspired action? And that will reconnect you. You can reconnect anytime. You can tell me I've been disconnected for 87 years, and I can tell you, reconnect right now. Reconnect right now. Because even in times of disconnection, that potential for abundance is there. It is always there. Okay? So choosing to continue to reconnect, right? Continuously challenging those beliefs that aren't working for you. And then reconnecting to the mindset of abundance. That is going to become the new self-fulfilling prophecy, right? I always get a great parking spot. I always find four-leaf clovers. I always have more than enough. I always get to travel. I always get to do things that are fun. I always look amazing. I always smell amazing. Whatever mindset you want to have, right? Cultivating that I always. And then if you notice a thought coming up that says, you don't always smell good, challenge that. Well, sure, because sometimes I work out and then I take a shower and I smell good again. So the truth is I always do smell good. And besides which, how someone smells, whether it's good or not, is a matter of opinion. So one man's stink is another man's delight, right? Okay. It is the case that scientists have done studies on mindset. We know this. We know that scarcity mindset is not only bad for your money, it is also bad for your health. It's bad for your relationships, and it's bad for your mental health. Whereas abundance mindset, and this isn't to say that if you have mental health problems, it's your fault. It's to say, can you utilize some of these tools? Can you utilize some of these tools to increase your health, wealth, and abundance? I'm here to say, yes, you can. All right, friends, we have come to the end of another episode of the Erin Carrera Show, and I wanted to talk more about all of these laws of abundance, but we will have to save that for next time, okay? I want to talk, offer next week. We're going to offer some more tools for releasing scarcity mindset. Everything from shimmying away the shit to more. So I love you. Come find me on onetoolisten.com/Erin. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.